Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, wisdom from a community of faith that doesn't think the same, vote the same, or love the same, but we are trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus with compassion and hope.
So not so long ago, I met a friend who I hadn't seen in quite some time. We were both so happy that we just happened to be at the same place at the same time, and so we spent quite a bit of time catching up on what was new. And at one point, I asked her, "How are you?" And her response was something like, "Oh, I'm so busy. I'm so tired. I have so much going on. I'm stressed. I'm overwhelmed. I don't ever have time to think and sit and relax. I'm just too busy." Now, that friend and I chatted a little more that day, and eventually we made plans to meet for coffee and some conversation at a later date. But her response stayed with me. Being busy, being tired, being stressed, being overwhelmed, no time to relax. And as I thought about it, often when I speak with my friends or my family or my colleagues, their response to that question is fairly similar. Being stressed and busy. And I will confess that even if I ask myself that question, I might respond the same way. Many among us are busy people. We're busy with volunteering or committees or church ministries, busy with children and family members, with school or work, with paying bills, and just the realities of everyday life. Sometimes, though, it's not just busy doing things or busy with activities. Maybe some of us are busy dealing with our feelings. Perhaps we're feeling overwhelmed with grief, or loss, or anxiety, or lament. We might feel exhausted from our everyday emotions. Or perhaps our minds are busy, making to-do lists, thinking of what our next meal may be. Or maybe even right now, in the middle of this sermon, you're thinking about what you'll be doing after church today. All of this busyness can make us weary. In our gospel reading today from the book of Matthew, we hear a reminder to us all to rest. Jesus reminds us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." It's an invitation to lean into Jesus, to trust in and through prayer. And it reminds us that life's burdens are not ours alone to bear. We hear of Jesus sharing our yokes. And when we share our yokes, we can find rest. Now, for those among us who have been living in cities for much of our lives, we may not be very familiar with the idea of a yoke. A yoke is usually a piece of wood that goes between two animals, kind of sitting on their necks at the back. Animals like oxen, and it's used to help them carry the load. So it literally makes the burden easier to bear. People can have yokes too. A yoke can be considered a symbol of oppression, weighing someone down. So whether we understand a yoke as a symbol of oppression and making the weight light, or whether we understand it as a physical thing, the idea that Jesus shares it with us might make it easier. When life is busy and hard, we are reminded that Jesus is slogging along there with us, helping us along. God is sharing our burdens with us. So whatever is making life hard or overwhelming, we don't have to carry that alone. We can share our worries and our concerns and our stress with God. We can put our burdens down and rest with Jesus. We can trust that the Spirit is accompanying us in all of life's ups and downs. We can give space to rest. Now, this was not the only time in the Bible that we hear about an invitation to rest. For example, there was a time when Jesus was on the boat with the disciples, and Jesus was tired and he fell asleep. Meanwhile, there's a storm and there's waves and all kinds of things are crashing on the boat and the disciples are terrified. And Jesus wakes up and calms the storm. But Jesus first himself had slept. And there was a time when God created the whole world. God created day and night and waters and land and plants and animals and people, and it was all very good. And at the end, at the seventh day, God rested. And later, when Moses received the Ten Commandments, one of those commandments was to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. And the Sabbath day is an invitation to rest. And there was also a time when the prophet Elijah was scared. He runs off into the wilderness and sits under a tree. He thinks he's going to die. He's overwhelmed by everything, but he fell asleep instead. And an angel appears to him and encourages him. The angel says, "Go get something to eat and drink." So Elijah does get something to eat and drinks and sleeps a bit more. And eventually he wakes up and hears God's voice. And he continues in leadership, feeling renewed. In our scriptures, we are reminded time and time and time again to take time to rest. Now, at this point, some among you might be feeling a little bit restless, or maybe even feeling uncomfortable. Perhaps resting is easier being said than done. Or for some, rest might be a privilege. I mean, rest is not always easy to come by, particularly for those among us who might be worried about where our next paycheck is coming from, or finding affordable housing, or where our next meal will come from. And how can we possibly be talking about taking time to rest when there's so much to do, so much to respond to in this world? When we think about social justice, for example, that work is never ending. How can we possibly be resting when there's homelessness and hunger and poverty and injustice and war? Is it possible to rest when the world around us needs us and needs us to be active? How is resting being faithful to God? Now, I wonder if I can introduce you to the NAP ministry. Yes, the NAP ministry. NAP is an N-A-P ministry. NAP ministry. Often when I mention this, people smile and giggle a little bit like what you were doing now and think, did I hear her right? Yes, you did. It is the NAP ministry. The NAP ministry was created by a woman named Tricia Hersey, a black woman from the United States who is a minister. And one of the books that she wrote is called Rest is Resistance, a Manifesto. In that book, she writes, "Rest is as natural as breathing and waking up." But more than that, she challenges the idea that our productivity is equal to our worth. She says we are already enough. And she names that our bodies can actually be sites of liberation and resisting capitalism. So she writes, this is a quote, "In a society built on a slaveholder economy, in which every person's worth is determined by their productivity, prioritizing wellness is a subversive act." And her book, as a whole, tries to disrupt and push back against capitalism and injustice by connecting to the liberating power of rest, daydreaming, and naps as a foundation for healing and justice. For Hersey, rest is resistance. Now, I'm going to take a guess at what some of you might be thinking. We just talked about how busy we are. We talked about how busy we are, how much we have so much going on. How can we possibly take time to rest? Or maybe we feel guilty. Or maybe we don't even know how to slow down. But this constant busyness can make us sick. We need the power of rest for our own physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. We are being invited into self-care and nurture. The rest might be just a few moments of refreshment during the day. Maybe it's 10 minutes of relaxing in an otherwise hectic day, a few minutes to nap or rest so that we can keep going. In fact, resting can be a faithful response to our weariness. I know that for myself, when I take time to rest, I'm a better version of myself. I can think more clearly. I'm a kinder and gentler and more patient parent. I can envision more creatively. I have the energy, more energy, to cook and clean and plan and write. And I'm better able to do the work of ministry and to follow God more faithfully. A friend of mine, who is a minister, reminded me that her preaching is actually better on Sundays if she plays the day before. And she says her productivity during the week is better if she has one day to rest. Time to rest, she says, gives her more freedom in life and in ministry and in work. There is time if we make time for it. In the past 2 years, some national churches are even making space for it. So one example is the Presbyterian Church USA. They met recently for their General Assembly. It ended last month. And during the meeting, they created space for the nap ministry. And in doing that, they did not work late into the evening, and they allowed more times for breaks. They said this would be intentionally different from past assemblies, where they often worked well into the early hours of the morning. And the Presbyterian Church USA reminded people that God speaks in dreams and in moments of rest through Scripture. Making space for dreams and rest in the assembly schedule also makes space for God. It does seem that time for rest can also restore our souls. Now, just to be clear, the encouragement to rest is not about putting our heads under a pillow or sleeping all the time. It's not about encouraging laziness or selfishness or self-absorption. It's not at all about ignoring the problems of the world. Not at all. We rest so that we can re-engage. We rest so that we do not experience social justice burnout. We rest so that we can be more present, more attentive, and more faithful. The invitation to rest, though, is not only about sleeping or napping. It might be a practice that refreshes you. For myself, yesterday, I was at the Grand Parade for Caribana, also known as the Toronto Caribbean Carnival. And this is actually an event that's literally linked with the idea of rest. Caribana was born out of a heritage of enslavement and is another opportunity to celebrate freedom. It's linked with Emancipation Day, a day where we talk about freedom and liberation and ongoing times for rest. For me personally, I go to Caribana every year. I find rest in the dancing and singing and revelry and engaging with some of my own cultural traditions. But there are other ways too. What might it mean for you? Where do you find rest? Perhaps it's through knitting or reading or being by the lake, or puzzles or praying, or walking or talking, or silence. However you find it, wherever you find it, please take time to rest. Now, a 10-minute nap this afternoon is not necessarily going to make all the world's problems go away. But over time, as we lean into Jesus and we trust God with our burdens and our prayers, we will remember that we are not alone. We will rest our souls. We will rest our emotions. We will strengthen our faith, and we will be renewed. We will also be reminded that when we do the work of social justice ministries and many other ministries, we do not do this alone. We do all of that in partnership with God and in the context of community, a community that shares the yoke together with Christ. Christ, the one who came that all may have life in abundance. The one who said, "Come unto me, you who labor, and I will give you rest." Friends, let us rest. Amen.
Thanks for listening, friends. For other ways to connect, go to islingtonunited.org. May God's wisdom and love keep finding you.